It is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and inshallah we'll be starting our discussion on the water crisis and thereafter moving on to the book, inshallah, if time permits. Maulana, we may commence.
Yes, Maulana, let's see how the aspect, we all know that the country is experiencing an aspect of lack of rain, especially in the northern provinces of South Africa. Bear in mind that there are certain parts of the country in which there has been the normal rain, like in Cape Town, for example. There has been even reports of flooding. Now, besides the aspect of Salatul Istisqa, which the Jamaat Ulama has called upon communities, according to their convenience, to be able to call upon and to perform the Salatul Istisqa in this coming week, whichever time is suited. In Johannesburg, it is going to be performed on Sunday, at 6 o'clock at the Block Park. I believe something similar is happening in Lanai Jama.
Gee, Munana, all over.
Okay. Now, one of the things is that we know that water is something that is extremely, extremely important. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described water to be the basis and the source of all life. Without water, nothing can happen. And water is something that human beings sometimes can feel that he has a degree of authority and creation over other things. He sees that he has been able to sow his clothes, although the raw product comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But water is something that each and everyone knows from his own experience that comes solely from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautifully Allah ta'ala has made mention of it in the last verse and ayat of Surah Tabarak, an ayat which alhamdulillah many of us would recite at night when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized the reciting of Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, by saying, whoever recites Surah Tabarak at night, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will save him from the azab and the punishment of the qabr. And in this last ayat of this Mubarak and blessed Surah, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلَ رَعَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَعْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Sell, don't you look at this aspect. If one morning you get up and all the sources of water are dry, there is no rainwater, there is no rain, there is no stream, there is no river. All the sources of water where you accumulate or you use the water for your own personal needs are all dry. فَمَنْ يَعْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who's going to give you running water? Is there any factory that is going to manufacture water? Whatever the bottled water do, they just take the raw product from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bottle it in fancy bottles, and they sell it at a premium. All of that is on its place, but where does the raw water comes from? Is there any factory in the world that will produce it? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Don't you see the water that you drink? أَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Surah Waqiyah. Don't you see the water that you drink? Do you bring it down from the heavens, or does Allah Ta'ala bring it down from the heavens? And you would have to concur that it comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afraim antum anzal lawn ashaw ja'alnahu ujajan falawla tashkurun. If Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah Ta'ala would have made it unpalatable to your palates, and you would not have been able to drink it. There are many sources of water which are completely so bitter and brackish that you can't take that water. You cannot drink the water. So Allah has made it palatable, sweet, so that you may drink. Are you not going to be grateful to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Such great, beautiful verses Allah has made mention of the ni'mat of water in the Holy Quran, Ma'an.
Yes, indeed. And that is the greatest bounty of Allah subhanahu, one of the greatest bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon men. And yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just giving us a subtle indication of His power and His might, and is reminding us indirectly that oh people, do not lose focus in your life, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one on top, controlling the resources of the earth. And no matter how far we go in life and how much we progress, we still have to come to our basic needs, and that's water. And one of the crises, they say, if there is a next world war, it's not about oil or other resources, but rather it will be about water, because the water resources are drying out quickly. Here in South Africa, Marana, just last week I was reading that the Mvoti River in KZN used to produce 80 million liters of water a day. And as of last Wednesday, the 14th of October, it is only producing 11 million liters a day.
And yes, it is very clearly said that many of the wars that will be fought between countries in time to come would be pertaining to water, and something that none, somehow or the other, sometimes we just don't pay enough attention to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so beautifully given us an example with regard to water, and Allah ta'ala has done such a remarkable explanation of the cycle of water that it is absolutely unreal. Many people have written books with regard to it, but in a very easy way, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention with regard to it in his Ma'riful Quran in the 14th juz of the Holy Quran in the second ruku. And he said, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِيَ فَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. Now in that, just very briefly, without going into a scientific explanation, the greatest mass of water in this world is in the ocean. Right? But the ocean water is, you cannot drink it. Water everywhere and not a drop to drink. Has been an English saying that has been referred to the ocean. That there is water everywhere, but you cannot drink it for your... In fact, sometimes when you are thirsty and you drink the water of the sea, it adds to the thirst. And that is why people require fresh water in the sea and not the water of the sea. But the greatest mass of water, but you cannot benefit from it directly. It has other benefits. Look at the benefits of the sea. The sea is salty. Had the sea water been sweet, then the sea water would not have been able to accommodate all what the rivers and the filth that human beings throws into the sea. Because of it being salty, it has been able to consume what human beings throws in. So many of the filth, for example, goes through the various rivers and ends up into the sea. And because of the salty nature of it, it's been able to accommodate it without, you know, giving out an odor or without giving out a smell. If that was sweet water, what would have happened? So Allah Ta'ala has got his hikmah in even giving that salty taste and a salty whole aspect of the ocean being salty. But how, now Allah Ta'ala, from that salty environment and the humid conditions that normally occur at a place where there is an ocean, Allah Ta'ala creates vapor, right? And then that vapor, which comes about because of the salty nature and the humidity and the atmosphere and the environment around the ocean, that creates a vapor. That vapor is then carried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the heavens and towards the horizons. In there is formation of clouds. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسُلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا. And it is he who sends forth the wing, bearing good news before his mercy, until when they bring up a laden cloud, we drive it to a dead land. Now look at that. Sometimes from that particular aspect, the vapor and whatever is created from the ocean, it brings it up to the heavens. The winds take those clouds inland to a place, the way the Quran says, at a place where it's dry, and then from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain. وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِيَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. Allah ta'ala gives you a sign from a land that has become dry. أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِيَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ. And Allah ta'ala sends down rain and it blossoms the entire dry land into lush and green and beautiful vegetation and flowers and trees and fruit and vegetables for people to eat. The sign of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it comes. It comes from the greatest mass of water which we cannot use. But from that particular mass of water which is unpalatable, which we can't use for our drinking, Allah ta'ala creates the cycle which leads out to fresh water.
Subhanallah.
All right? And then in the 18th surah of the Holy Quran, there is that very beautiful ayat, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْجِي سَحَابًا ثُمَّ يُعَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ. Allah Ta'ala sends down the clouds and then Allah Ta'ala gathers it. ثُمَّ يُعَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ ثُمَّ يَجْعَلَهُ رُكَامًا فَتَرَى الْوَدْكَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ جِبَالٍ فِيهَا مِنْ بَرْدٍ. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gathers those crowds and Allah Ta'ala from a mountain mass of clouds. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the mountain mass of clouds. Now today when we go on a plane and we go beyond the clouds, we see the great formation of clouds. And Allah, that time when people could not be able to see it, sees the days like a mess, a mountain of clouds. And from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down the water. Then after bringing down the water, if for example, if Allah did not make a cycle and a way of preserving that water, what would have happened? People, whenever it used to be rain, or used to rain, or if it would rain, people would have had to stand outside their homes with big, big buckets, or make means of preserving that rainwater. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. We have not left it to you to preserve it also. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. 14th surah of the Quran, we have not left it to you to preserve, we will preserve it. Allah Ta'ala then brings down the rain, it goes down into underground streams, underground where boreholes then become the means of drawing that water from the underground reservoirs, and from there sometimes the rainwater goes into glaciers. Much of the fresh water of the world comes from glaciers. When the glaciers melt, it comes into rivers. From the rivers, it comes down into streams. It comes into dams, and from there it comes into reservoirs. And when human being opens up the tap and he finds fresh water, he can't even say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah الذي سقاني عذبا فراتا برحمته ولم يجعله ملحا غجاجا بذنوبنا. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given us sweet water to drink and he has not made it bitter due to our guna and sins. Our sins are such that if Allah ta'ala would have made the water bitter, Allah would have been entitled, we would have been worthy, but Allah ta'ala didn't do so. And Allah Ta'ala says, I have not even left it for you to preserve. That whole cycle of water started off from the vapor created by the ocean and environment and atmosphere. From there it goes up into the heavens, then it forms clouds. The clouds brings it inland, and Allah Ta'ala brings it inland to the means of the winds. Wherever Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah Ta'ala makes the water come, and Allah Ta'ala makes it rain. And Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Don't you see the water that you drink? أَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ. Do you bring it down from the heavens, or does Allah Ta'ala bring it down from the heavens?
Amazing.
This is an amazing, amazing aspect of the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An amazing aspect of the miracle of the Quran. That today people speak about the water cycle. Allah has made mention of it in the Quran centuries back.
Amazing. I've got in front of me Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya of Ibn Kathir, and he writes here, one of the benefits of water is that يَحْمِلُ مَرَاكِبَهُمْ لِيَبْلُغُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَى الْأَقَالِيمِ النَّائِيَةِ بِالتِّجَارَاتِ وَغَيْرِهَا وَهَدَاهُمْ فِيهِ. That one of the uses of water is that they use it for transportation, and one of the best way and the most viable way of transporting goods from one place to another is the sea freight, manana, that we're using. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Holy Quran also, that وَالْفُلْكَ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. And through that we have globalization, manana.
Definitely. I mean, there would have been no import-export without sea freight. You know, they say airline freight is too expensive, so only your bags go through. But otherwise, whatever we in terms of import-export, all of it comes from sea freight. And all import-export, all our entire aspect with regard to importation, exportation, many a times our entire business structure relies upon that.
There's also another fascinating narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab. It says, لَيْسَ مِنْ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَّا وَالْبَحْرُ يُشْرِفُ فِيهَا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. That every evening the ocean seeks permission thrice to destroy the creation out there. يَسْتَأْذِنُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَنْفَضِخَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, فَيَكُفُّهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah says, no, hold yourself, restrain yourself. And then when Allah allows it to break its borders, we see what happens, like tsunami, manana.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely, there is no doubt whatsoever with regard to it.
It's 9:30, spot on. We go for a commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue. The lines are open, 011-854-1548, alternatively 48855, or 072-786-1548. Those are the numbers, or Maulana Ibrahim Bam, 083-786-2859. Indeed, water is the key component of our daily lives, and no matter where we are and who we are, and it's not only for human use, but rather for our other activities of life, for example, energy, industrial use, agriculture, livestock, transportation, sanitation, migration, etc. And more than 800 million people in the world do not have access to clean drinking water. So it is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have access to clean water. We should be thankful for that. And like the dua Mawlana cited earlier on, Alhamdulillah الذي سقاني ماء عذبا فراتا ولم يجعله ملحا أجاجا بذنوبنا. Mulana, I've got in front of me also another narration here of Musnad Imam Ahmad, and it narrates that Fujirat arba'atu anhar min al-jannah, that the water supply to this world comes from Jannah, and there are four rivers that flow from Jannah. Al-Furatu wa Nil, Furat is the Euphrates River, wa Nil is the Nile River, Sayhan and Jayhan, I'm not sure of the English equivalent for this, but these are the four rivers that flow from Jannah, and that's the water supply to this world. Jivana?
After understanding that, we've given a brief introduction with regard to how Allah brings down water to this earth. So now once we have understood that, then of course the next portion where it comes to us, we can speak about that and people will say, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, very beautiful and how great. But now where does it come to us? Where do we fit in?
And in this, Manala, can you take a call? We have a call online. Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, salam alaikum.
Salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jesus.
Maulana, since seeing that the men are praying the istishqa salah, is it okay for the women to get together, read Surah Yasin and istighfar and la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin?
Those aspects should be done at all times and with the intention of making istighfar. See, our ulama have said that the entire purpose of istishqa, and we will be speaking about it, the entire purpose of istishqa is to bring about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. Now, and that is why our ulama say that one of the aspects that prevent the mercy of Allah ta'ala coming down is the doing of sins. And human being as such that kullu bani adama khata'un, each and every human being is prone towards error and sin. Wa khairu khata'in at-tawwabun al-mustaghfirun, and the best of people who sin are those people who repent for their sins. So the way to achieve Allah ta'ala's rahmat and mercy is to attract Allah's mercy by asking Allah's forgiveness for the wrong that we have done. So that must go without saying. And our ulama, when they speak about istisqa, even before that say, attract the mercy of Almighty Allah. In the poster which the Jamiat has sent out with regard to istisqa, you will find that as the ulama of the past have even said, before istisqa, try and make three days of Nafil Roza before you come to the istisqa. And so this aspect, what I'm saying
Jesus,
is that this istighfar from the woman in the house must be a continuous aspect, and in this situation, it must be even enhanced.
Jazakallah. Jesus, you've got something to say?
Yeah, Mulana, I think it is very, very imperative and important for us to make the children even aware of it. Now, Alhamdulillah, at least every Thursdays I have a little kiddies program at our park here. And I just want to know from Maulana, we've put a little nizam together, and in it we are saying, Allahumma shkina, Allahumma akhtina.
Aghithna.
Aghithna. Yeah.
Allahumma shkina, Allahumma aghithna. The most two easiest dua to read with regard to rain, Allahumma shkina, Allahumma aghithna.
Aghithna.
Yes.
And Maulana, I think it is so very important that, all women all around should even get their children to read this, because it's quite a simple little dua. And make them aware, and also give them ongoing lessons as to one shouldn't be wasting water and how important water is to us.
Yes, it's very important.
Jazakallah khairan, Maulana.
We have one more caller, Maulana.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Bobadin, Maulana Ibrahim Bam. How are you guys?
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, you know what, man? What irks me greatly every time I go to the masjid, we are wasting water like there is no water. And exactly, there is no water at this point in time. You know, I see people wash their feet as if the feet wasn't washed for the day. I used to go to Newtown Masjid often in the old days and find people.
You still must come, man. I'm missing you.
Well, bear testimony to that. You understand?
Uncle Yusuf Taraji, Jazakallah for that.
No, Uncle, Jazakallah so much. And Uncle Yusuf?
Yeah, just one more thing. Make elan with all the ulamas that give talks in the masjid. Please, for the next couple of days, let's keep talking about don't waste water, don't waste water, don't waste water.
Yes.
Jazakallah, Uncle Yusuf, and we're still waiting for you at the Newtown Masjid.
Okay.
Jazakumullah khairan for that.
And one, this is very important. I think after understanding the by us speaking about the water cycle, or not just to speak about the, it is with a purpose. And the purpose, now let us go. We've got the next 15 minutes, and we want listeners to join in with regard to this. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Sa'd radiallahu anhu while making wudu. And he said, Ya Sa'd, why this extravagance? Why this wastefulness? And Sa'd radiallahu anhu was making wudu at the banks of something. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, is the extravagance in wudu also? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, even while making wudu at the bank of a flowing river, while making ablution at the bank of a flowing river. Now, someone would say, and just bear in mind, if you are making wuzu at the bank of a flowing river, normally the aspect of wasting doesn't occur, because whatever you are doing, whatever you are washing, the water is going back into the river and being flowed and going to its destination.
Mm.
So there is no wastage in the bank of a flowing river. But by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even when you are making wudu at the bank of a flowing river, be careful how you use water, because if you are going to be wasteful there, which people might say, well, it's going to go back into the river, I don't have to be worried about the waste, but you would continue that trend, and that will become a habit, and when there is no flowing water, you will still waste water.
Yes, interesting indeed. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ عَلَىٰ نَهْرٍ جَارٍ. And Mawlana, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given great emphasis to the protection and preservation of the environment and the ecosystem around us. For example, the Prophet of Allah said, do not urinate in public places or under a shady tree which people utilize for various reasons.
Or even in water. Yes.
So amazing, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been extremely comprehensive in his nature in covering all aspects of life, and he hasn't left out a single matter. So part of preservation is to use water sparingly and to use it according to the need. This attitude, Mawlana, that sitting under a tap and chit-chatting to the man next to you and letting water flow by, I think we can overcome that, Mawlana.
Very, very true, Mawlana. I mean, look at this, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make wudu with water equivalent to a mud, less than a liter. And may Allah Ta'ala reward Mawlana Yusuf Mutalasa from the UK. He has made this widely available.
Mm-hmm.
He has got this mud where there's a small container which he has made. That's it. And he has gone into the sources of the Islamic law and the hadith and what a mud exactly is.
Mm.
And he's got this beautiful container which comes in plastic and even comes in copper, and said, this is how much water Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use in wudu. When we look at it, we will get a shock.
Right?
And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make ghusl with approximately 3 liters. My uncle one day told me, he said, Maulana bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali one day made, and he said, he went into the sources of hadith, and he said that he found it, this how much water Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use, and he took that amount of water, and he made ghusl. And Maulana, alhamdulillah, was not a thin person. Alhamdulillah, Maulana was well built, alhamdulillah, very healthy. And Maulana came back and told, he said, I made ghusl comfortably with that amount of water. Today, if we have to look at that water, we will say, what? I mean, we will just stir and try and tell that to the youngsters. May Allah have mercy. I don't know how we're going to get that particular type of message through to them. Because if we have to knock at their door with regard to shower, take it easy, don't use so much water, for them it's not an issue. But these are noble teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do not waste water, even if you are at the banks of a river while making wudu. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make wudu with such amazing amount of water that even if we cannot reach that stage, but certain degree of conservatism in this regard and staying away from wastefulness is just so important, because it's not because it's a drought, it's not because it is because the dams are full. Even if the dams are full, then too we must bring this particular aspect into our life. Ma'ala man iktasir, he who adopts thriftiness and moderation, will poverty will never overtake him. So if you are going to be moderate with regard to the use of water entirely, and and the entire country does so, then actually what will happen, then you will not be in time to come face with a shortage of water.
Yes, indeed, and we need to exercise this at our schools and at our madrasas also. The lines are open for you to interact, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Mawlana, maybe we can set out a challenge to our listeners that for the next 7 days, at least twice or thrice they should try and bath in the 2.4 liters. Maybe once or twice just to get the experience of it. Then slowly, inshallah, they can get into the habit of it. What do you say, Mawlana?
Yes, very well. A lot of people I know, I saw Mawlana Suleiman Rawat during the course of the week asking people for tips for conservation of water. And of course, we all know to start off with, see to it that the taps are closed and leaks repaired. I remember reading a very beautiful saying long time ago that a bucket that has a small hole gets just as empty as a bucket that has been deliberately knocked over.
So
even a small hole in the bucket, the bucket will get it will get empty. Just as if you take the bucket and throw it, it will also get empty. So sometimes these particular aspects of seeing that the tap is properly closed, the lights are put in, we don't pay enough attention with regard to it. Use water sparingly. Do not allow water to flow unnecessarily. Do not sit and speak while making wuzu in the masjid, or unless they allow the water to go in terms of our paki. I mean, our ulama have made mention that when you go in to make a ghusl, as long as you've got an intention, I'm still not clean, it's permissible for you to make ghusl. Now, you see, that's a Mawlana speaking, will always find the loopholes with regard to masail. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has always made mention of and innal mubazirin kan wa ikhwana shayateen, the people who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan.
Yes, it's a matter of discipline. If we are able to discipline ourselves in that field, inshallah, we'll able to carry it to the other fields and other spheres of life also, Mawlana. Mawlana, should Mia Bibi also bath together, Mawlana?
No, that is part of different aspects. It may be part of different reasons and all that.
Inshallah. But what about schools and madrasas? How do we promote it there?
If you look at just the one-page poster that the Jamiat has sent out with the Hilal, which said, let's conserve water, the source of all life. I think if that becomes part and parcel, where madrasa, apas, teachers can take this and give it to every child and say, learn this from your very outset, make this a part and parcel of your life. And it's something that is so, so important. You know, use a bucket to wash the car, water the plants instead of a hose. Use a water jug as opposed to the running tap for wudu, if it can be done. Even if you do use a running tap, keep the flow less. I mean, we all know that these are aspects that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent someone who was in need of something, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and get it, Usman will give you. So when he came to Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was rebuking his wife for keeping the candle wick a little bit more than what was necessary. If they kept the candle wick a little less, the light would have been still there, but by keeping it more oil was going to be used. And he said, Ya Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, send me to such a person who is rebuking his wife for even keeping the candle wick a little bit more than what is normal and spending more oil. How much oil is going to be used? And he started walking away from there. Usman radiallahu anhu, you know, came out of the house and saw him moving away from the house. He called him and said, why did you come? You were coming in my house and all of a sudden you went away. He said, the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala sent me, I needed something. He said, go to Usman, Usman will give you. He said, why didn't you ask me? He said, well, I saw you rebuking your wife for even keeping the candle wick covered more than normal. Where are you going to give me money when you are rebuking your wife with regard to such a small thing? Usman radiallahu anhu went and took a whole bag of ashrafis and dirham and gave it to him. And he said, amazing, you are rebuking your wife for such a small amount of extra usage of oil, and here you are giving me a whole bag of money. He said, where there is a need, we will spend. Where there is no need, we will be very careful. How much? Where there is need and necessity, we will spend. But where there is a situation of trying to preserve, then we will preserve. Here, with regard to it, light can be achieved even with a little bit less wick and thus lesser oil. So why shouldn't we save? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to save.
Well, some time back I came across a very interesting scholar, and he said to me that in the winter period we wait for water to flow until hot water comes out. So he says he used to place a container there, and he would gather the cold water until the warm water would come out. And then later on, during the course of the day, he would utilize the cold water for other activities, and he would not let it go down the drain. He said, this is how we should try and preserve water and use water, Mawlana.
So beautifully said. I mean, it's true. Many times, Mawlana, we take things for granted in these type of things. I mean, let's face it, that particular action of allowing the water to flow until it becomes warm is a common occurrence. I don't think even people would even spare two thoughts or even two hoots in even thinking that there's anything wrong with regard to it.
Amazing. 0118541548, or alternatively 48855 or 0727861548. Man, it looks like everybody is keeping the water tight. Nobody SMS.
I think they all must have gone to see if all the taps are properly closed.
You may continue, Malana.
Well, Malana, we've got the whole aspect with Salatul Istisqa. We are calling upon people with regard to it to do it. Bear in mind, we just, as we know, that it's preferable to gather around Ishraq time, not necessary. A Muslim community is encouraged to fast for 3 days prior to the Salatul Istisqa. Salatul Istisqa should be held on the outskirts or open area of the town. It is preferable the older members of the community, the children and the weak ones, should attend. Perhaps due to the innocence, Allah would favor the region with beneficial rain. Preferable to walk to the place showing your humility. Don't come with pride and wear ostentatious or gaudy clothes. Try and wear humble clothes. And the whole aspect with regard to, it's showing your humility, showing your humility and asking Allah Ta'ala for His rahmat. And anything with regard to humility, asking Allah, crying before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there is a hadith which I remember reading in Jazawul Amal from Hazrat Mu'adh Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. When Mu'adh Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi said, when it doesn't rain, then the animals curse human beings and said, because of your misdoings, we have been prevented and we have been deprived of water, which is a source of life for us. Can you imagine the animals suffer because of the doings of human beings? And of course, there's this very beautiful incident of that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which has been made mention in the books, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was one day making Salatul Istisqa, and Allah Ta'ala informed Musa, "Oh Musa, I'm not going to accept your du'as, because in your gathering there's a person who has made such guna and sin, that because of the amount of sin that he has committed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the du'as and will not bring down rain. Announce to the people that that person must leave the gathering." So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam announced that whoever has made this guna, which he is aware of, the sin that he is aware of, a major sin, let him leave this gathering so that Allah does not deprive the entire community because of his sins. And while Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is making the announcement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is perplexed. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was kalim of Allah. He started conversing with Allah. Allah, you said that you are not going to send rain because of the doings of a person, and until he doesn't leave, then Allah, you will not send down rain. But without that person leaving, we are here, the gathering is here, no one left. Allah, you send down rain, O Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh Musa, when you made that announcement, the person, he was there, and he in the meanwhile thought that because of me, people have been deprived, but if I walk out, I'm going to be disgraced. People will say, this is a man who committed such a great sin. He cried and he made tawbah, O Allah, forgive me, Allah. Do not disgrace me further. If I walk up now, then I'm going to be disgraced. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Forgive my sins." And because of him asking for forgiveness, O Musa, I send down rain. So Musa alayhi wasalam said, "Ya Allah, tell me who that person was. Tell me who that person was. Said what du'a he made and what guna he made." And Allah Ta'ala said, "O Musa, when he committed guna, I preserved his respect and dignity, and I did not expose him. Now after he made tawbah and repentance, do you expect me to expose him?" So this was also with regard to istisqa. Istisqa is this particular aspect, a very important point that it's not only about fulfilling, this is something new, let us go and see what type of namaz it is. There is something that is behind it, and behind it is, the aspect of encouragement towards, turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincere repentance, and begging Allah ta'ala for rain.
Alright, yes, some messages coming through. Assalamu alaikum. What do you tell a teenager who's obsessive compulsive behavior, even when the person makes wudu, the person keeps rinsing the arms, and they know the laws of wudu? I think excessive water during the usage, excessive usage of water during wudu, Manana.
Well, we've got to try to the utmost and speak to them. Maybe these type of proposals that have come out, let the youngsters read it. I mean, it's not only people who are, who are like that. There are certain people who are compulsive. As a Mufti Ahmadur Rahman, my ustad, used to tell us, sometimes, you see, wuzu is an objective towards salat. Wuzu is not an objective in itself. You know, wuzu is an objective towards making you capable of making ibadat. So it is not a means. So the means is to make your wudu to be able to perform salat. See, sometimes people spend so much time in wudu that the reason why you are supposed to make wudu for salat, salat is gone and people are still making wudu. But you're making wudu for that namaz, the namaz is gone. What are you still making wudu for? The situation is like that. But it's a situation that people... So bear in mind the aspect with regard to the water. It's so important. One of you was supposed to do the other aspect, but I suppose, inshallah, we'll do that next week, inshallah.
There's some messages, Manana. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, Manana. The entire community went out to pray for rain. Only one youngster carried an umbrella. That is Iman. There's another one. Assalamu alaikum, Manana. Please tell husbands to fix leaking taps. Too much water getting wasted.
And that's a very, very famous word. DIY. I think the next course we must have workshop for is to have a course on DIY. We had enough course of marriages and talas and everything. I think now that's the one we have to do now.
Assalamu alaikum, Marana. We in Grey Town have water restrictions. We have water only 2 hours a day.
Yeah,
and that's how bad it is. Please save and don't waste water. It's very difficult for the old people.
And can you imagine that? Do we need to start saving when situation become up to that extent? Or should we be doing it beforehand? And that's the point that we should be speaking about.
This one says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to emphasize on one point that we are doing every effort to bring rain, but we are neglecting a serious thing, and that is there is no unity in every house. A brother is not talking with his own brother for the last 10 or 20 years. Likewise, too many cases like this. Please ask the community to focus on this issue also.
Yes, Mana, when we talk about good deeds, then we are talking about good deeds in its entirety, and part of good deeds would definitely include this aspect as well.
It brings us to today's discussion, to the end of today's discussion,
yes,
Marana.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace. We thought we would speak for 15, 20 minutes. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in whatever you discuss, and some of the other aspects come in which are relevant to the topic. And Alhamdulillah, only Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace we've been able to speak about, I feel, an important point. And inshallah, we will go back again to the book, inshallah, next week.
Yes, so we encourage parents to, inshallah, hold such discussions at the dining table as well as in madrasas and other places, wherever there's a place of congregation. And with a reminder, with love and affection, inshallah, we can overcome these challenges.
Inshallah.
Jazakum. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.